Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and today we're going to be discussing the 2003 film Monster, Eileen Wuornos. If you haven't seen Monster, starring Charlize Theron and Christina Ricci, then I absolutely recommend that you do. Holy shit, Charlize. Ugh. God, she's so hot, and she is a phenomenal actress. So is Christina. I mean, Wednesday? Come on, the original? But Charlize just plays the villain so damn well. In her performance for Monster, I see why the Academy gave her an Oscar. After a childhood of abuse and abandonment, Eileen Wuornos went on a killing rampage that left at least 7 men dead across Florida in 1989 and 1990. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. Eileen Wuornos was born on February 29, 1956 in Rochester, Michigan. Her father was a convicted sex offender and was way out of the picture before she was born. He ended up hanging himself in prison when she was just 13 years old. Jesus, can you imagine that? My God. Her mother, who was a Finnish immigrant, had already ditched her by that point, like, laters, leaving her in the care of her paternal grandparents, who were not any better, they were alcoholics. So we're just going from abandonment issues, dad's in prison, killed himself, to now my alcoholic grandparents. Just seems to be a downward spiral from here. Less than a year after her dad committed suicide, Eileen's grandmother died of liver failure. See, just one thing after the other. Meanwhile, her grandfather had been, according to her, beating and sexually assaulting her for several years. Eileen found prostitution early in life, trading sexual favors at her elementary school for cigarettes and other treats at 11. Yes. Elementary, 11 years old, she is being a prostitute. Dear God. She also engaged in sexual activities with her brother. I miss House of the Dragon too, but incest is gross, guys. It's gross. Don't do that. When Eileen was 15 years old, she dropped out of school to have her grandfather's friend's baby at a home for unwed mothers. However, after having the kid, she and her grandfather finally had one final domestic incident that left Eileen to live in the woods outside of Troy, Michigan. I'm from Michigan. Troy is, I mean, it's cleaned up, I guess, but I mean, it's still Michigan. Sorry, Michiganders. She then gave up her son for adoption and got by from just prostituting and petty theft. At the age of 20, Eileen tried to escape her life by hitchhiking to Florida. She ended up marrying a 69-year-old man named Louis Fell. Fell was a successful businessman who had settled into semi-retirement as the president of a yacht club. She's like, let me go get me a sugar daddy with some money. Hell yeah, president of the yacht club, pay my bills. Eileen moved in with them and immediately started getting into trouble with local law enforcement. She just continued to get into fights and any type of confrontation at their local bar and went to jail briefly for assault. That's not a surprise here. She also hit her husband Louis with his own cane. Elder abuse. Leading him to gain a restraining order against her within weeks of the marriage. We all know you have to gradually lead up to showing him you're crazy. You just went full foot down on that gas pedal. 100 crazy. Eileen was then forced to return to Michigan to file for an annulment after just 9 weeks of marriage. 9 weeks. I mean, it's taken me forever just to have a boyfriend longer than a year, but damn, 9 weeks, damn girl. Around this time, Eileen's brother, who we know she had an incestuous relationship, you nasties, suddenly died of esophageal cancer. She collected his $10,000 life insurance policy and just started blowing that money like, let me use it to cover the fine for a DUI. Let me buy a luxury car. Then she crashed while driving under the influence. Did she not learn? No. No. The answer is no. When the money ran out, she returned to Florida and started getting arrested for what? For theft again. She's like, let me just go back to what I know. On May 20th of 1981, she was arrested in Edgewater, Florida, where she briefly did time for an armed robbery in which she stole, just wait for it, $35 and some cigarettes. I'm doing an armed robbery. I better come out with way more than $35 and some damn cigarettes. I better be coming out with stacks. Stacks on stacks on stacks. She started working as a prostitute again and was arrested in 1986 when one of her customers told police she pulled out a gun on him in the car and she demanded money. We ain't doing this whole, I do stuff for you, you pay me thing. Let's just skip that. Let's just skip that. Give me the money now. That's what I would like. In 1987, she moved in with a hotel maid named Tyra Moore, a woman who would become her lover and partner in crime. The murders. Eileen told conflicting story about her murders, okay? She sometimes claimed that she had been the victim of rape or attempted rape with every single one of the guys she killed. She's like, they tried to rape me. That's why I murdered them. See? At other times, she admitted, like, no, I was actually trying to rob them. Which one is it? She always changed her story depending on who she was talking to. Hey, Becky. Yeah. No, he tried. He tried to get me, but I got him first. Oh, hey, Julie. No, I robbed him, Julie. Yeah. Which one is it, lady? Her first victim, Richard Mallory, was actually a convicted rapist. So, I mean, you took one bad guy off the streets. Like, yay. What do the other dudes do? Richard Mallory was 51 years old and had just finished his prison term earlier. When he met Eileen in November of 1989, he was running an electronics store in Clearwater. Eileen shot him several times and then dumped his body in the woods before ditching his car. In May of 1990, Eileen killed another man, a 43-year-old David Spears, by shooting him 6 times and then stripping him naked. 5 days after his body was discovered, police found the remains of a 40-year-old Charles Carscannon, who had been shot 9 times and tossed on the side of the road. Lady, they are going to connect this. Stop it. Stop shooting people multiple times. On June 30th of 1990, 65-year-old Peter Sims disappeared on a drive from Florida to Arkansas. Witnesses later claimed to have seen 2 women matching Tyra and Eileen's description, driving his car. Why would you do that? Eileen's fingerprints were later recovered from the car and from several of Seam's personal effects that turned up in local pawn shops. Again, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why would you do that? Why? God. Eileen and Tyra went on to kill 3 more men before Eileen was picked up on a warrant after yet another fight in a biker bar in Volusia County, Florida. You would think, hey, I just murdered multiple dudes, right? I should probably keep a low profile instead of just getting into countless fucking bar fights for no reason. I should do that. Tyra agreed to get a confession from Eileen in exchange for immunity from prosecution.
I will do anything to get out of jail, please. My jail free card, let's make a deal.
Yes, a deal? Yes. So Tyra returned with the police to Florida, where she was put up at a motel. Under the police's guidance, she made numerous calls to Eileen, just pleading her, please help me clear my name. The cops are on my ass. Please.
It's a trip.
3 days later, on January 16th, 1991, Eileen confessed to the murders. Authorities now had what they needed to arrest her ass. Eileen spent all of 1991 in jail waiting for her trials to start. As we know, life was rough outside of prison, but she seemed to be having a whole lot harder time inside. As she was awaiting her trial, she came to the belief that her food was being spit in or otherwise contaminated by other inmates' body fluids. She's like, oh my God, Rebecca is spitting in my food. Frickin' Julie over there just peed in my soup yesterday. Like, everyone's out to get me. Everyone's out to get me. Her statements to the court and her own legal counsel included many references that jail staff and other inmates were plotting against her.
They're all trying to get me. They're all trying to get me.
Like many disturbed defendants, she petitioned the court to fire her lawyer and to let her represent herself. Like, you just claimed people are trying to pee in your soup, ma'am, and you want to do this without legal representation? They agreed to this, which then left her unprepared and unable to deal with the mountain stack of paperwork that seven murder trials involve. Like, yeah, that's a lot of paperwork. I mean, just one murder trial, I would assume, is a lot of paperwork. So I can only imagine the Mount Everest of seven murder trials. Like, geez. Probably should get some legal representation, just saying. Eileen Mornos went on trial for the murder of Richard Mallory on January 16th of 1992 and was convicted 2 weeks later. The sentence was death. Around a month later, she pleaded no contest to three more murders, for which the sentences were also death. In June of 1992, Eileen pled guilty to the murder of Charles Carskadden and was given another death sentence in November for the crime. In February of 1993, she pled guilty to the murder of a Walter Gino Antonio and was sentenced to death yet again. No charges were brought against her for the murder of Peter Semmes, as his body was never found. In all, she received six death sentences. Six death sentences. Like, damn. That's a lot. That's a lot. During her trial, she was diagnosed as a sociopath with borderline personality disorder, which I'm pretty sure most of us gathered at the beginning of this case. In 2001, after a decade in jail, she directly petitioned the court to hurry this shit along. You are going to kill me? Do it fastly. This place sucks. Citing abusive and inhumane living conditions, she also claimed that her body was being attacked by a sonic weapon of some kind. Oh, Eileen. Her court-appointed lawyer tried to argue that she was irrational, like, hey, Your Honor, you know she's crazy, right? But Eileen would not go along with the defense. Oh, no. Not only did she confess again to the murders, she also sent this to the court as a document for the record. Quote, I am so sick of hearing this she's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. I'm one who seriously hates human life and would kill again. You gotta give her that she was honest, at least. I mean, she was honest. On October 9th, 2002, Eileen Mornos was put to death at 9:47 p.m. by lethal injection. Her last words were, quote, I'd just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus. June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all. I'll be back. Like Independence Day. Weird. I mean, yeah, she was crazy and she had a rough childhood. I had a rough childhood. We've all had childhood trauma. I'm not belittling her childhood trauma. I'm just saying, I'm not a serial killer. You have a bad childhood. Don't kill people. I think that should be the lesson today. If you have a bad childhood, get therapy. Don't murder people. And that, my friends, is the true story of Eileen Mornos. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new
all things murder, if you dare.